anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20 of Ephesians chapter 6. Then looking briefly in the gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came to him, he said, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him up into the holy city, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, then throw yourself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Again the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." Verses 1 through 10, Matthew chapter 4. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the weapon of your word, the sword of the Spirit. Thank you for how that your daily, your word equips us, encourages us, guides us, counsels us, strengthens us, and does so much more for us. Help us to grow an understanding of that when we spend time with you in your word, we're spending a one-on-one appointment time with you in your presence. Thank you for the ways you mold us, you shape us, you bless us, you equip us to be warriors in the kingdom of God. With every passing day, help us to be better equipped warriors, better equipped vessels in your hands to accomplish your work in the building of your kingdom. Help us to fall more and more in love with you and with your word with every passing day. We ask in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our producer is Jason Tross. Jason is going to share a word of prayer with us at this time as well.
Thank you, Heavenly Father, for today. Thank you for the blessing of life. Father God, I thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word, and that we have the opportunity to get to know you more and more each day, Father, and equipping us, Father, with the endurance that is necessary to carry out your will and your purpose for our lives, Father. And today we ask you for another portion, Father God. Fill us anew with your spirit, Father God, that we may be those who do well, Father God, that we may hear well done, Father God, knowing that it is not merely our acts, Father God, our own strength, but we know that the work that you do in our lives, Father God, leads to works, Father. So we ask that you would perform that work in us, Father God, that it would transform us first on the inside, Father, and that from the inside out that we would carry out what you would have for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jason. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We continue to remind and encourage you, please take time to go to our Facebook pages, Hour of Intercession and Hour of Intercession Live, and like them if you would. We would really, really appreciate that. On an ongoing basis, we're encouraging you to take the time to pray much for the ministry of the Greenwood Pregnancy and Hope Center. It's a project that we're involved with in which we're raising the monies to purchase a mobile medical pregnancy center that will serve in the Mississippi Delta. If you would, please pray with us for the Lord to bless and prosper that project. And if you want more information or would like to know better how to pray for us or to give a financial contribution to help us carry this work forward, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Your prayers, as well as your financial contributions, are greatly, greatly appreciated. A reminder to you is also, we encourage you to visit the AFA Resource Center. Go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. This is a marketplace where you can find resources and tools, books, and things that can help to strengthen you and encourage you in your daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Tools to help you to disciple your family and to encourage them in their walk with the Lord. Tools to be able to share with others who you want to disciple or encourage in their walk with the Lord as well. Stop by and pick up some of the great resources and join thousands of others in helping to transform our culture for the kingdom of God in the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, visit the AFA Resource Center. Go to resources.afa.net. AFA Resource Center is a ministry of the American Family Association. So today we'll be reading through the Word of God. And before we get into the reading of Scripture, I want to remind you again, if you don't have the habit of reading God's Word every day, and I like to regularly challenge and encourage believers to set the goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. You might say, well, why 3 chapters? Well, 3 chapters is a good basic spiritual meal. And if you think to yourself, well, that's not enough for me, I want more, well, great. You can't overeat the Word of God, but 3 chapters is a good basic spiritual meal. Now, if you think to yourself, well, I want to just read the same chapter 3 times over, great. That's good as well, because the Word of God will just sink deeper and take deeper roots in your mind and your heart as you do that. So whether it's the same chapter 3 times over or 3 different chapters, but reading His Word every day is very, very important. Real quickly, briefly, 10 excellent reasons to read God's Word every day. Number one, it tells you genuinely how to be saved and how to grow up in your faith. A second reason to read the Word daily, it gives you clear guidance and direction for much of your life. 3, it empowers your prayer life. 4, it sharpens your ability to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit more and more clearly in your life. A 5th reason to read the Word daily, it ministers to your mind, body, and spirit. 6, it helps you maintain your mental health. 7, reading the Word daily increases God's anointing on every area of your life. Number 8, it increases your wisdom in every part of life. 9, it enhances your intellect and personality. Why? Because God's Word has anointing on it, and God's anointing enhances who you are and your gifts and abilities and strength as well. It pours grace, peace, and joy into your spirit, your mind, and your life. A 10th reason to read the Word daily. So again, our encouragement to you is, if you don't have the habit of reading His Word every day, today is a great day to start that habit. And of course, a reminder too, that when you're reading God's Word, there at least 7 great ways to use the Word daily. When you get into it, you can read the Word daily, read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. All of them are related, but they're not quite the same thing. You can read the Word of God, but not really hear it like you need to. You can believe the Word of God, but maybe not choose to pray it. Well, doing all 7 are very, very productive. Again, you can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, pray it, obey it, and meditate on it. I would encourage you to make it your goal to use it in all those ways on a daily basis. Today, we continue reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the Old Testament, the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Then Elisha said, "Hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, tomorrow about this time, a seah of fine flour shall be sold for a shekel, and 2 seahs of barley for a shekel, at the gate of Samaria." So an officer on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Look, if the Lord would make windows in heaven, could this thing be?" And he said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." Now there were four leprous men at the entrance of the gate, and they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, 'We will enter the city,' the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us surrender to the army of the Syrians. If they keep us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall only die." And if they, and they rose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. And when they came to the, outskirts of the Syrian camp, to their surprise, no one was there. For the Lord had caused the army of the Syrians to hear the noise of chariots and the noise of horses, the noise of a great army. So they said to one another, "Look, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to attack us." Therefore they arose and fled at twilight and left the camp intact, their tents, their horses, and their donkeys, and they fled for their lives. And when these lepers came to the outskirts of the camp, they went into one tent and ate and drank and carried from it silver and gold and clothing, and went and hid them. Then they came back and entered another tent and carried some from there also, and went and hid it. Then they said to one another, "We are not doing right. This day is a day of good news, and we remain silent. If we wait until morning light, some punishment will come upon us. Now therefore come, let us go and tell the king's household." So they went and called to the gatekeepers of the city and told them, saying, "We went to the Syrian camp, and surprisingly no one was there. Not a human sound, only horses and donkeys tied, and the tents intact." And the gatekeepers called out, and they told it to the king's household inside. So the king arose in the night and said to his servants, "Let me now tell you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we are hungry. Therefore they have gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, 'When they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city.'" And one of his servants answered and said, "Please let several men take five of the remaining horses which are left in the city. Look, they may either become like all the multitude of Israel that are left in it, or indeed, I say, they may become like all the multitude of Israel left from those who are consumed. So let us send them and see." Therefore they took two chariots with horses, and the king sent them in the direction of the Syrian army, saying, "Go and see." And they went after them to the Jordan. And indeed, all the road was full of garments and weapons, which the Syrians had thrown away in their haste. So the messengers returned and told the king. Then the people went out and plundered the tents of the Syrians. So a seah of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two seahs of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Now the king had appointed the officer on whose hand he leaned to have charge of the gate. But the people trampled him in the gate, and he died, just as the man of God had said, who spoke when the king came down to him. So it happened, just as the man of God had spoken to the king, saying, "Two seahs of barley for a shekel, and a seah of fine flour for a shekel, shall be sold tomorrow about this time in the gate of Samaria." Then that officer had answered the man of God and said, "Now look, if the Lord would make windows of heaven, could such a thing be?" And he said, and he had said, "In fact, you shall see it with your eyes, but you shall not eat of it." So it happened to him, for the people trampled him in the gate, and he died. End of 2 Kings chapter 7. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be back.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen? Do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you you could see it all made new.
We do.
Is all creation groaning?
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this?
Music of Andrew Peterson, Is He Worthy? Continuing reading through the Word of God as we pick up now in the book of 2 Kings, chapter 8, beginning at verse 1. Then Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, "Arise and go, you and your household, and stay wherever you can, for the Lord has called for a famine, and furthermore, it will come upon the land for 7 years." So the woman arose and did according to the saying of the man of God, and she went with her household and dwelt in the land of the Philistines 7 years. It came to pass at the end of 7 years that the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went to make an appeal to the king for her house and for her land. Then the king talked with Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, Tell me, please, all the great things Elisha has done." Now it happened, as he was telling the king how he had restored the dead to life, that there was the woman whose son he had restored to life, appealing to the king for her house and for her land. And Gehazi said, "My lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha restored to life." And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, "Restore all that was hers, and all the proceeds of the field from the day that she left the land until now." Then Elisha went to Damascus, and Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, was sick. And it was told him, saying, "The man of God has come here." And the king said to Hazael, "Take a present in your hand and go to meet the man of God and inquire of the Lord by him, saying, 'Shall I recover from this disease?'" So Hazael went to meet him and took a present with him of every good thing of Damascus, 40 camel loads. And he came and stood before him and said, "Your son Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, has sent me to you, saying, 'Shall I recover from this disease?'" And Elisha said to him, "Go, say to him, 'You shall certainly recover. However, the Lord has shown me that he will really die.'" Then he set his countenance in a stare until he was ashamed, and the man of God wept. And Hazael said, "Why is my Lord weeping?" He answered, "Because I know the evil that you will do to the children of Israel. Their strongholds you will set on fire, and their young men you will kill with the sword, and you will dash their children and rip open their women with child." So Hazael said, "But what is your servant, a dog, that he should do this gross thing?" And Elisha answered, "The Lord has shown me that you will become king over Syria." Then he departed from Elisha and came to his master, who said to him, "What did Elisha say to you?" And he answered, "He told me you would surely recover." But it happened on the next day that he took a thick cloth and dipped it in water and spread it over his face so that he died. And Hazael reigned in his place. Now in the fifth year of Joram, the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Jehoshaphat, having been king of Judah, Jehoram the son of Jehoshaphat began to reign as king of Judah. He was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, just as the house of Ahab had done, for the daughter of Ahab was his wife. And he did evil in the sight of the Lord. Yet the Lord would not destroy Judah for the sake of his servant David, as he promised him to give a lamp to him and his sons forever. In his days, Edom revolted against Judah's authority and made a king over themselves. So Joram went to Zair and all his chariots with him. Then he rose by night and attacked the Edomites who had surrounded him, and the captains of the chariots, and the troops fled to their tents. Thus Edom has been in revolt against Judah's authority to this day, and Libnah revolted at that time. Now the rest of the acts of Joram and all that he did, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the Kings of Judah? So Joram rested with his fathers and was buried with his fathers in the city of David. Then Ahaziah his son reigned in his place. In the 12th year of Joram the son of Ahab, king of Israel, Ahaziah the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, began to reign. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri, king of Israel. And he walked in the way of the house of Ahab, and did evil in the sight of the Lord, like the house of Ahab, for he was the son-in-law of the house of Ahab. Now he went with Joram, the son of Ahab, to war against Hazael, king of Syria, at Ramoth-Gilead. And the Syrians wounded Joram. Then King Joram went back to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him at Ramah, when he fought against Hazael, king of Syria. And Ahaziah, the son of Jehoram, king of Judah, went down to see Joram, the son of Ahab in Jezreel, because he was sick. 2 Kings chapter 9. And Elisha the prophet called one of the sons of the prophets and said to him, "Get yourself ready. Take this flask of oil in your hand and go to Ramoth-Gilead. Now when you arrive at that place, look there for Jehu the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him rise up from among his associates and take him to an inner room. Then take the flask of oil and pour it on his head and say, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.' Then open the door and flee and do not delay." So the young man, the servant of the prophet, went to Ramoth-Gilead. And when he arrived, there were the captains of the army sitting. And he said, "I have a message for you, commander." Jehu said, "For which one of us?" And he said, "For you, commander." Then he arose and went into the house. And he poured the oil on his head and said to him, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I have anointed you king over the people of the Lord, over Israel. You shall strike down the house of Ahab, your master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Lord at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab all the males in Israel, both bond and free. So I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam the son of Nebat, and like the house of Baasha the son of Ahijah. The dog shall eat Jezebel on the plot of ground at Jezreel, and there shall be none to bury her." And he opened the door and fled. Then Jehu came out to the servants of his master, and one said to him, "Is all well? Why did this madman come to you?" And he said to them, "You know the man and his babble." And they said, "A lie, tell us now." So he said, "Thus and thus he spoke to me, saying, 'Thus says the Lord, I have anointed you king over Israel.'" Then each man hastened to take his garment and put it under him on the top of the steps. And they blew trumpets, saying, Jehu is king. So Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, conspired against Joram. Now Joram had been defending Ramoth-Gilead, he and all Israel, against Hazael, king of Syria. But King Joram had returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds which the Syrians had inflicted on him when he fought with Hazael, king of Syria. And Jehu said, "If you are so minded, let no one leave or escape from the city to go and tell it in Jezreel." So Jehu rode in a chariot and went to Jezreel, for Joram was laid up there, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, had come down to see Joram. Now a watchman stood on the tower in Jezreel, and he saw the company of Jehu as he came, and said, "I see a company of men." And Joram said, "Get a horseman and send him to meet them, and let him say, 'Is it peace?'" So the horseman went to meet him and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu said, What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "The messenger went to them, but is not coming back." Then he sent out a second horseman who came to them and said, "Thus says the king, is it peace?" And Jehu answered, "What have you to do with peace? Turn around and follow me." So the watchman reported, saying, "He went up to them and is not coming back." And the driving is like the driving of Jehu, the son of Nimshi, for he drives furiously. Then Joram said, "Make ready." And his chariot was made ready. Then Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot, and they went out to meet Jehu and met him on the property of Naboth the Jezreelite. Now it happened when Joram saw Jehu that he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" So he answered, "What peace, as long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her witchcraft are so many?" Then Joram turned around and fled and said to Ahaziah, "Treachery, Ahaziah." Now Jehu drew his bow with full strength and shot Jehoram between his arms, and the arrow came out at his heart, and he sank down in his chariot. Then Jehu said to Bidkar, his captain, "Pick him up and throw him into the tract of the field of Naboth the Jezreelite. For remember, when you and I were riding together behind Ahab his father, that the Lord laid this burden upon him. Surely I saw yesterday the blood of Naboth and the blood of his sons, says the Lord, and I will repay you in this plot, says the Lord. Now therefore take and throw him on the plot of ground according to the word of the Lord." But when Ahaziah, king of Judah, saw this, he fled by the road to Beth Hagan. So Jehu pursued him and said, "Shoot him also in the chariot." And they shot him at the ascent of Gur, which is Ibleam. Then he fled to Megiddo and died there. And his servants carried him to the chariot, and his servants carried him in the chariot to Jerusalem and buried him in his tomb with his fathers in the city of David. In the 11th year of Joram, the son of Ahab, Ahaziah had become king over Judah. Now when Jehu had come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she put paint on her eyes and adorned her head and looked through a window. Then as Jehu entered at the gate, she said, "Is it peace, Zimri, murderer of your master?" And he looked up at the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?" So two or three eunuchs looked out at him. Then he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood spattered on the wall and on the horses, and he trampled her underfoot. And when he had gone in, he ate and drank. Then he said, "Go now, see to this accursed woman and bury her, for she was a king's daughter." So they went to bury her, but they found no more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands. Therefore they came back and told him, and he said, "This is the word of the Lord, which he spoke by his servant Elijah the Tishbite, saying, 'On the plot of ground at Jezreel, dogs shall eat the flesh of Jezebel, and the corpse of Jezebel shall be as refuse on the surface of the field, in the plot at Jezreel, so that they shall not say, Here lies Jezebel. 2 Kings chapter 10. Now Ahab had 70 sons in Samaria, and Jehu wrote and sent letters to Samaria, to the rulers of Jezreel, to the elders, and to those who reared Ahab's sons, saying, Now, as soon as this letter comes to you, since your master's sons are with you, and you have chariots and horses, a fortified city also, and weapons, choose the best qualified of your master's sons, set him on his father's throne, and fight for your master's house. But they were exceedingly afraid and said, Look, two kings could not stand up to him. How then can we stand? And he who was in charge of the house, and he who was in charge of the city, the elders also, and those who reared the sons, sent to Jehu, saying, We are your servants. We will do all you tell us, but we will not make anyone king. Do what is good in your sight. Verses 1 through 5, 2 Kings chapter 10. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we continue reading through the Word of God. We'll be back. From Mosaic, Tremble. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We continue now reading through the Word of God as we pick up in the New Testament, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. End of the book of 1 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians, chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly, and the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that you endure, which is manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing for God to repay with tribulation those who trouble you, and to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power, when he comes in that day to be glorified in his saints and to be admired among all those who believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Therefore, we also pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now, brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he's taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth, that they might be saved. For this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the tradition which you were taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and our God and Father, who has loved us and given us everlasting consolation and good hope by grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work, in every good word and work. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may run swiftly and be glorified, just as it is for you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for not all have faith. For the Lord is faithful, who will establish you and guard you from the evil one. And we have confidence in the Lord concerning you, both that you do and will do the things we command you. Now may the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patience of Christ. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow us, for we were not disorderly among you, nor did we eat anyone's bread free of charge, but worked with labor and toil night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, not because we do not have authority, but to make ourselves an example of how you should follow us. For even when we were with you, we commanded you this: if anyone will not work, neither shall he eat. For we hear that there are some who walk among you in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. But as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. And if anyone does not obey our word in this epistle, note that person and do not keep company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet do not count him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace always in every way. The Lord be with you all. The salutation of Paul with my own hand. Such is a sign in every epistle, so I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. End of 2 Thessalonians. You've been listening to the Hour of Intercession as we've continued reading through the Word of God. And again, on an ongoing basis, we're encouraging you, if you don't have the habit of reading God's Word every day, today is a great day to start this very, very important habit of reading His Word. And again, our ongoing challenge and encouragement is that you start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. It might be the same chapter 3 times over to read and meditate on, or it might be 3 different chapters, but consuming God's Word every day is very vitally important. And as usual, in the last few moments of our broadcast, we want to continue to invite, if there's someone listening who's never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, this day, today, is a great day to make the step of asking Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior, and you being saved and coming into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're not saved and you desire to make that step today, would you simply pray this prayer for salvation? Pray this prayer to invite Christ to come into your heart as Lord and Savior of your life. If you would, pray it with me even now. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world, you lived, you died on the cross to pay for my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many ways, Lord. I repent and turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come anew into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Make me the person you want me to be. Lord, you said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to live my whole life for you. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, we very much would like to be in touch with you. My email is jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. Please email us and let us know. We'd like to share with you some literature and some resources that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me share with our listeners as well, for all believers listening, if you'd like some of the Gospel Tract Bible bookmarks that we share, simply email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to share them with you. Our ongoing encouragement to every believer listening is that it's important for us to recognize the Great Commission applies to every believer in all the world, in all places. So a part of our responsibility is helping to share the gospel of Jesus Christ and to make disciples. And this Gospel Tract bookmark is a wonderful tool to help you do that, just both to share the gospel and invite people to come to know Christ, and a tool to encourage them to become students of Scripture. Just email us at jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send the bookmarks. Let us know you would like to receive the Gospel Tract bookmarks. We'd be glad to share them with you. And of course, I want to remind you once again, the books that we wrote, The Intercession Chronicles and A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. Both of them are available in the AFA bookstore. Simply go to resources.afa.net. Again, that's resources.afa.net. Both of them are books that are tools to help strengthen you. The Intercession Chronicles is a great tool to help set your prayer life on fire, to strengthen your prayer life. And of course, A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life, is a tool to help equip you to become a believer that's very much involved with the important kingdom work of standing for life and standing against abortion and helping to end abortion, a tool to help equip you to do just that. Hope you'll do that. Again, go to resources.afa.net to get both books, The Intercession Chronicles and A Pastor's Notes, God Calls the Church to Stand Boldly for Life. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
Send out a prayer.